And once we meet Jesus, like at the throne, mm-hmm. I hope that he just looks at me and says, yeah, that's you. Mm-hmm. You are the spoken word now. Like you've fulfilled, you know, my mission for you. And I, wow. you know, we see each other eye to eye and we know what word that we were spoken and it's true. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Greater Works Podcast. Nick Redd here in the studios with the one and only Bridget Pensinot.
Hi, Nick. How's it going?
Good. We got another warm body in the room
here. We do, which is good because it's kind of cold in this room right now. So the more body heat, the better.
I think this is the one office cell that like the radiator doesn't work.
No, mine also does not work. Okay. So you just got to keep the door open so that the heat from the other offices flows into it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I know. That's my strategy right now. Or bring a blanket.
So for the second time ever, well, no, we've had two episodes when we've had other guests.
This is our second time in the studio, though. But yeah, sorry.
Interview. No, you're right. Interviewing another person. Would you like to introduce who we have, the special guest?
Oh, I sure can.
I can hear them breathing.
Yeah, you can. Stop breathing. No, we have very special guest Reese Dawson here with us in the studio. So Reese, young adult involved in SPO here in Kansas City, lives on the third floor of this convent building. So one floor above where we are, known as the monastery. So Reese, so good to have you.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Show,
thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So good to have you. You have a good radio voice.
Thank you so much.
And a radio face, as they say.
People can't see my face.
Yeah, no, this is good. I actually just get to be a witness of the beautiful brotherly love and affection that's being just... There's something going between you two right now, so, and I just get to see it.
So we want to have a conversation with our brother and talk about, get to know you a little bit. Hey, what you're in the community here. What's God? How did you get plugged in? Quick download of like the backstory of who you are, how you came to know Jesus, and then what's God doing? I mean, you guys are doing some fun stuff on the third floor. You got a lot of dreams brewing in your heart. So Reese, dude, who's Reese Dawson? Tell the people.
Who's Reese Dawson? Well, Reese Dawson is from Mound City, Kansas, born and raised, very small town, population of around 800 people. It's very tiny, but it's a sacred place because it's actually the shrine parish to St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. And there's actually a park about 15 miles outside of town where she had about a year of her mission as like a part of her life. And so, yeah, it's always been like a sacred place to me. I grew up Catholic, born and raised, you know, baptism, confirmation, all the things. And, did all the things. And even through my undergrad and college, went to mass every Sunday. But I had an encounter this morning. I was with a kind of a group that gets together once a month to attend mass. It's mostly just business professionals. But we were sitting there and this guy is speaking, and he was a Lutheran, and he converted to Catholicism. And one thing that he mentioned was just like throughout his conversion, there was one thing that drew him in. And in this case, it was the real presence of the Eucharist. And, in my heart, it just challenged me to ponder, like, what is that thing that like drew me in? And still through like doing all the things, I think it was encountering people who were just like on fire with the love of the Lord, and who took that presence of God, you know, from mass and remained what I would say is still a sanctuary, and showed me the love of God through them. And I was just kind of, I was baffled this morning because I was thinking these people still pursued me, even though I was still kind of putting up a wall in between me and them. They still were kind of after me, sort of like how God is after us. You know, it's like we try to run in certain situations. And I think for a long time in my life, I just kept on running from him. But then you meet and encounter these people who aren't running from God. They're actually embracing God, embracing the love of God and the Father. And then when you encounter those people, no matter how hard you try, that love just becomes overwhelming. And you realize, you know, who your real true friends are. And you see that through, wow, through the people that you're with. And so I'd say that, like, I had had my conversion, you know, like I said, doing all the right things. But once I got through undergrad, I went to Pittsburgh State University and then went to Benedictine College. Go Ravens.
Nice.
to do my MBA. And it was an interesting time because I feel like in that moment, I still had an opportunity to potentially mm-hmm. pursue relationships that maybe weren't so good for me.
Yeah.
Coming fresh off of undergrad, but then noticing that these other people were kind of drawing me in. And praise God that they had like persistence and patience and love for me. Mm. Because still wanted to put up the wall. But I think over time, the Lord just manifested like so much in my heart, in my mind, in my soul.
Wow.
And everything's been kind of a slow process with me and the Lord. But I'm finally kind of just getting past the point where I'm like, I'm done. Like I'm done.
Done messing around.
I'm done running. And it's like, no, I just like want to embrace you, God, and all that you have for me. And I think that you have a lot for me in this life. And I think there's an adventure and I want to be a part of it. You know,
wow.
I want to be a part of, as Bishop Aaron says, the theodrama. Hmm. I'm tired of placing the emphasis on myself and I'm ready to just be a part of your story, God. So that's my mini testimony.
There you go.
So,
that's a great intro.
Yeah.
I love that. So grew up in small town America, town of 800 people.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way, got to Pittsburgh State. And then, which is in Kansas, for anyone who doesn't know that, I had to learn that at some
confusing.
Point. It is.
It's
there's
confusing.
Pittsburgh and there's Manhattan in Kansas, which is confusing. But you went to Pitt State.
Yes.
And then.
Go Gorillas.
I didn't actually know that.
Go Gorillas.
That's good. Go Gorillas.
Yeah, for a long time, they were the only gorilla mascot. I don't know if that's still true today.
Do you have a gorilla suit?
A gorilla suit? No,
yeah.
I don't.
Okay.
No, I
feel
don't.
Like that's something that we should invest in.
It was big at Halloween around campus, but I never.
You never did that.
Never hopped on board.
Yeah.
So.
But then made your way to Benedictine College for MBA.
Yes.
And along the way, having people just kind of pursue you in your faith and experiencing being pursued. And then now as young man here in Kansas City, getting to kind of make a decision for your faith to like kind of go all in. So that's. Would you say it's kind of where you're at right now? What you're saying?
Yeah. I think still true today. So I'm living on the third floor of the St. Agnes Convent, and as
did you ever think you'd be living in a convent?
So I didn't. No, I never thought. I mean, this is an old convent, probably been abandoned for 20, 25 years. And I joke with people. I say we live on the third floor of a convent. And the rooms are literally built for sisters.
Hmm.
So like the hallway is very narrow. The rooms
I
are
didn't
fairly
even
small.
Think about that.
So
pretty skinny hallway.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I joke, I say it's,
wow.
So me and my roommates just like run into each other.
And y'all are like sizable
big
men.
Guys.
Yeah,
over
you're
200.
Like good size men.
Y'all are
yeah.
broad-shouldered brothers.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That carpeted hallway. That carpet's got to be like 50.
Yeah, well, we're working 100 on that.
100 years
but
old.
I think that's,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably as old as you. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Things that I wouldn't have thought about. Yeah. Size of the hallway built for women,
so
not men.
You were considering living in it about a year ago. That didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And this past summer, just boom, all of a sudden happened. You
yes.
You have five guys living up there. What were you saying yes to in your mind?
Hmm.
So I think that when I said a no initially, you know, it's just like you hear about people talk about how God works and like, you know, He really wants what we want in a lot of situations. And at that time, you know, I was probably involved with SPO for about 3 months and was just getting to know guys. But at that time, I don't think it was necessarily known as to be kind of an SPO household or what you had as like a dream for it, Nick.
Right.
I mean, so
it was kind of like a halfway house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was or that's
kind of,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really,
joking,
but
halfway house.
But you, there was a dream and there was a vision for something.
For Catholics.
For something
yeah.
more. A halfway house for Catholic men. There you go.
What's that mean?
No. Yeah. What does that mean? We don't actually mean that. But now what is it? The dream,
so
the vision.
It's the monastery.
Yes.
It's the monastery.
Please tell me we have like stickers or something that we've
we
made.
We don't
for that,
have stickers.
T-shirts.
All we have is a house mom.
Oh no.
So her name is Mari Claire.
This
oh,
is
she's
with. She's
I had no idea.
She's within the SPO community. And
this is so funny.
We had.
Well, yeah, listen to the story and
okay.
then you'll
we
catch
had
on.
A Christmas party, which involved white elephant gifts.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to collect more art. Like,
you've been trying to
religious
collect
art.
Pictures of saints.
Saints.
Yeah.
And so I go up and I grab this frame and I'm like,
at the white elephant.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is going to be perfect. And then sure enough, I open it up and it's a picture of our Lord. And I'm just like, floored. I'm like, yes, Lord,
this
thank
is great.
You.
You're like, you got it. Yeah, you got, actually, I brought that gift. It's the
yeah, you did.
Sacred Heart.
Wow. Sorry for not remembering. No.
Or was it actually beautiful?
I think it's actually beautiful.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. I just wasn't using
beautiful.
It. So I was like, white elephant gift. Here we go.
Yeah.
But then got something else too.
So yeah, I'm sitting by one of my roommates, Drew Vollmer, shout out. And he like walks up there and he's got this like the same thing in mind. He's like, we gotta get some art. Some art for the monastery. And he walks up there and like takes from the pile of gifts and then he unwraps it. It's a picture of Marie Claire.
And this is, so just for our listeners, this is amazing. So long story short, there's more to it, but
yeah.
Mari was with some friends a few years ago now, and they were at a bar, and an older man comes up to her and asks, I think he just flat out asks her, like, can I draw you?
Yeah.
Which is kind of a strange question to
Very
ask somebody that you've never met.
Question.
And she says yes.
Mm-hmm.
So she sits there at the bar with her friends, I think for a couple hours, while this man draws a sketched picture of her. It's like
a
headshot, basically. Yeah. It's like pencil.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of accurate, but also kind of like a cartoon version of her. So mm-hmm. now you have this picture of Mari in the monastery.
Do you know that she's the house mom?
We asked her before we put it up.
Oh,
yeah.
That's helpful. But she's up there with the other saints.
Right. Which I just wanted to make it a thing. I was like, there's so many amazing women within the SPO young adult community. I'm like, feel free to just get a picture drawn of yourself so we can hang it in the living room.
Yeah, there you
go. So full permission.
I'll work on that. You know, I'll get the other women to work on that too.
Ball's in your court, honestly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. We'll try and find the same man at the same bar and see if he can draw a bunch of us.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just in a group.
So what do you guys do up there? Are you guys with bodies living in there together?
Yeah.
What's the vision?
It's kind of transformed into this group of men who are just intentional about having good order in their life. So something that we're intentional about is just getting up and making a 6 a.m. morning prayer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that really gives the Lord space to work together, like as brothers. You know, we get to offer up our prayer intentions for the day, like just like be honest with the Lord and tell him things that mm-hmm. we actually want. Like, Lord, help me through this workday. Like, mm-hmm. I've been struggling and like, I need you to be mm-hmm. there with me and present today because like, I can't do it by myself.
Wow.
And even people that we've, you know, encountered within our community. And like, for those of you listening, like there's some intentions that come into this community and people are healed, just through, through messaging, like, messing each other through this community, you know, prayer intentions are offered and people's lives are just changed. And I just think that there's so many powerful things that are happening
mm-hmm.
within this community right now. And so it was kind of a side note, but yeah, that was just,
So you guys are praying together every morning.
We're praying together.
Yeah.
And offering up that time for the Lord.
Wow.
The other thing is within the men's community, we get together and, every other Wednesday, the Wednesdays at Offset Radical Core,
mm-hmm.
we have kind of our Bible study group nights. Mm-hmm. So that really,
what studied the Bible or is it
So it's interesting you say that.
Fun fact: I've never actually been in a Bible study.
Really?
Yeah. I've studied the Bible, but I've never done a Bible study.
So most of the groups.
Any small group I've been in is all about sharing.
Yeah.
Like sharing the crap and sharing the good. And the space to be real, live in the light, and encourage one another. That's the only men's group I've been in.
Which is crazy because that's what's happened so far.
Hmm.
And we've dedicated, so it's taken this whole time, but everybody in our house, so there's 5 guys living in their house, and we've just pretty much shared our testimony and then offered up the rest of the time to just pray for that person and allow them to like enter into any healing.
Oh, cool.
Dude.
So, that's been so powerful. But I think what really happens is that when you do that in a men's household, it gives gives the guys just a better understanding of like, okay, who am I living with?
Hmm.
How can I love this person better? You know, how can I pursue their heart and they pursue mine?
Hmm.
And it's just been powerful. You know, you think like, oh gosh, we're going to take like basically 4 months to do this, because over the course of time with, you know, Radical Core and then like us meeting, it's
you
just like time accumulates.
Totally.
But I'm like, man, that's just been worth it.
Yeah.
Like I enter into this house and you see, you know, we all have weaknesses, mm-hmm. and you're still able to like love your brother through his own weaknesses. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I still love you. Like I'm not going to take this time to be harsh. I'm just going to love you in this moment. Mm-hmm. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's been a grace. So.
That's amazing. So you guys are radically going after the Lord together.
Yes.
Radically living life. Like I'm thinking, man, for our, like we have college students involved in SPO across the country, and oftentimes in the houses that they'll live in together as college students, there's morning prayer, there's meals together.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first kind of stepped into the young adult scene, kind of this narrative around, well, now we're young adults, young professionals, we don't have time for those things. Mm-hmm. Or the house, like house life together as men and as women has to look different.
Yeah.
And there's some reality to that. Like, sure, time looks different when you're in college versus when you're a young professional, you got stuff going on. But what I love is like, you guys are just unapologetic and like, we want to live our lives radically for Jesus, and that takes sacrifice, and there's a cost to that. And the cost is we're getting up at, I don't know what time you get up in the morning, but sometime between 5 and 6 probably, because we're going to start morning prayer. And then we know we're going to go into our work days after that. And then you leave your work day and you're pouring out your life for your community, for your men's groups, for the Radical Core people. You're on mission to the people in your workspace and the people in our community here.
Yeah.
And your lives are really full, but it's just, it's been this incredible witness, I think, of you, the men who are living upstairs, especially, and so many people, but you, like, you guys are laying down your lives for the people, for one another, and then the people in our community as well. So it's been a really cool witness.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
That's definitely affirmation. Sometimes you can just do all these things and it's like, oh, just on to the next thing, on to the next thing. But just have a sister kind of speak into that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
But it's the sacrifice too, because the sacrifice is like, there's something poured out in a sacrifice, and then that pouring out actually influences the people around it. So it's not just for like the sake of the person doing the sacrifice for the sake of themselves, but it's actually for the people around them as well that are impacted by that. So totally.
Thanks, Bridget.
So dream a little bit
Kay.
For me. All right. So you guys are on the third floor.
Yes, we're on the third floor.
That's cool. Like,
it's okay.
Narrow hallways, really small rooms.
Right.
It's the third floor. Yeah. It's great.
So say like this entire, and on the second floor of this convent, we have offices.
Yeah.
First floor, kind of open space, and we have a basement.
Yeah.
That's, you're turning into a speakeasy, I hear.
Right. I heard that from a friend, and it may be Nick. And Nick's on the show.
So say this
great.
Whole building's yours.
Okay.
As like a beacon of light in Kansas City, like a place for men. I'm just putting you on the spot. What would you do?
You got
this. Space? Like, what are the needs? Like, for dudes, men in Kansas City, what would you, like, what are some dreams in your heart for, like, guys, not just to be, like, nice Christian boys, but, like, to freaking wake up to the call that the Father has on their life? Like, is there a clear question there?
There is a clear, I mean, it's all the Lord's work and it's all the Lord's grace, but I think that living through our own household, we've just seen the necessity of the things that we know we need in life. So I think a man needs space for prayer. He needs a space for order. He needs a space where he can lean on his brother and talk about how he's actually doing. Because if we don't have these things, and I think this goes for every man, if we don't have these things in our life, we just keep on bottling them up.
Responsibility.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everybody has their work that they go to every day. Mm-hmm. And so I think just being together and doing those things, the Lord just has a lot of grace that he wants to pour into that.
Hmm.
And like what I was talking about, if those things get bottled up. Hmm. So if you're a man, like I'm picturing myself, you know, if I'm called to the married vocation, like if I get married and I still don't have any brothers in my life, then what's going to happen is I take that and I bottle it up because I'm not doing the things that the Lord invites every man into.
Hmm.
And gosh, maybe I take it out on somebody else. You know, maybe I take all of my anxieties and burdens, maybe out on my family. And I just like, it's not necessary. Like, we have to be intentional about going after something as men,
right?
and like leaning on each other to where we can just become stronger. Like that's what the Lord really desires, you know? So yeah, we've started doing that here. Gosh, we have some space here. If there was more men here, we would just be so blessed. We would be. I don't know what that would look like.
I feel like 25 dudes in this whole place.
At least.
Dude, frat house.
Operation Phil St. Agnes with men.
All right, so yeah. A phrase
is coming
to mind. There's
a hashtag in there somewhere.
This is a very internal phrase, actually. Okay. That goes back to somebody who actually went to Benedictine. But I'm going to say the phrase, and it's going out on the webs, and so everyone will hear about this, or the podcast world at least. And I want to just respond to it, okay? So here's the statement. SPO household, forming boys into men, so future wives and bishops don't have to.
That's perfect.
Is that accurate?
That's
like,
good.
I love what you were saying about like, if I'm not surrounding myself by men right now, I'm going to be carrying some stuff into marriage.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever the vocation is.
Right. Amen.
So like, what's critical about this time in your life as a 4 out of 5 of you are single, one's engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Max.
Amen.
Shout out.
Amen.
That's a call to death, isn't it?
Man, he's at the finish line. We're just cheering
Almost
him on.
There.
Yeah. We're cheering him on.
So, what was my question? So,
you said respond to the statement.
Yeah. Okay.
You said that's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Your phrase.
Forming boys into men.
Yes.
Is that something that household is doing?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think each individual man is seeing that. It's not necessarily something we're not being critical of ourselves, but we're just seeing that through this order, through this time that we've given the Lord space to work through the vulnerability. I think there's just something that hits your heart. It's like, I can be doing better, like as a man. Yeah. I think having guys like side by side is that desire will always be there. So yeah, and the Lord desires that. Like he desires that we reach our full potential. Like if we are a spoken word, then once we meet the Father, and once we meet Jesus, like at the throne, I hope that he just looks at me and says, "Yeah, that's you. Mm-hmm. You are the spoken word now. Like you've fulfilled, you know, my mission for you." And you know, we see each other eye to eye, and we know what word that we were spoken, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So. Hopefully this can be something that helps bring that to fruition. Yeah.
That's sick. To become the spoken word, to become the message.
To become the message.
Right?
To become
That's
the message.
You are, Paul says, you are my letter of recommendation. Mm-hmm. Right? You are the word. Become the spoken word of the Father. Dude, let's go.
That's so good.
That's what I want. Yeah.
Mm. Have you guys done anything rowdy while you're up there? Like something stupid?
We haven't.
I think a healthy amount of stupid's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's there's fun. So much just odd stuff.
So you recently made a trip to
where did we go?
Texas.
Florida.
Shout out
Florida.
Texas.
Road trip down there.
Yeah, we did.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got caught up in, you said the Theo drama. I love that phrase.
Well, I was going to say, you almost got caught up in a tornado.
I don't know if you guys can hear it, but throughout this conversation, that wind is
it's
blowing
a strong
outside
wind outside
the window.
Yeah.
But it's at moments where the conversation is really anointed, the wind picks up.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, okay, so you spend the night in Kentucky, right? First night, you wake up.
Yes.
You go to Mass. What happens?
So, yeah, we went to Mass on the solemnity of Holy Mary, Mother of God, and or Mary, Mother of God. But so we went to Mass at 8 a.m., and I was. Like we go to Mass and I'm like wondering, oh my gosh, are they going to be celebrating the solemnity today? Cause like maybe they had the Mass last night. And then we walk into to Mass that morning and, it was this priest from Africa and he just like, he comes into Mass and he's like, this is how you should be honoring, you know, your mother in your own life. And this is how you should be honoring Mary. And like, I'm like, okay, we're in the right place. Like we're celebrating Mary, the mother of God today.
Yep.
And so we have Mass, we have benediction after that, a little time of adoration. And then, we pray a rosary after that. And so I'm like, we'll stay to pray the rosary. Like we're honoring Mama Mary today.
Yeah.
Let's do it. We're still here.
Great.
Dude, it's like the conversation. Well, when you're, I say this, well, I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but when you're driving in a car, road trip,
yeah.
He says, "Hey, you want to
Pray the rosary.
You know what's weird? You know, Reese would ask the question.
So I'm always down to pray rosary. Always down.
We actually almost interrupted you to ask you to record this podcast. You were on a rosary walk.
I finished it though. Yeah.
Well, no, but it was mine. We didn't do this, but I thought we should just get in a car and go find him and pick him up.
Yep.
And pray together. Yeah. Well,
we were gonna end it.
You were gonna end it.
Yeah,
can't end the mysteries of the rosary.
We let you
so finish. You guys corporately decide. Hey, we're gonna stay here, pray the rosary.
Yeah.
With all these other young, strapping men probably at daily mass. You were the only guys.
You were the only young.
We were the only guys there.
Classic.
It was what I would describe as a very faithful parish celebrating Mary, Mother of God that day, staying to pray the rosary. I bet there was 35 or 40 people.
That's awesome.
Which, yeah, praise God. So we stay to pray and, we're finishing up the rosary. And we're just like finishing it saying, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of God. And I just like feel this, it's almost like a shake of the church. And I noticed one of my roommates is just like basically lifting up his hands. And if you know the man, Diego Payan, he is
DJ Diego
Fuego, Diego Payan.
He goes
like,
by many names.
Many names. He is a very saintly man. So if I see this man lift up his hands and we're in the midst of potential danger, I'm probably going to start lifting my hands as well.
Oh my gosh.
Because the building's shaking
a little bit.
But you don't know why at this point.
We do not know why at this point. Okay. I think so. My other brother, Lee Vollmer, shout out, is closer to the windows and he actually like peeks outside of the windows and sees these like, stuff was blowing sideways, like completely sideways. He's like, things were just blowing through the air.
Oh my gosh.
And so, but yeah, me and Diego were just up there still praying. And we had another guy with us. His name's Lane Barnhill, shout out. He is in the side adoration chapel. And this is how he describes it. You know, the church was shaking at the time, but he said it sounded like a train approaches the side of the church and kind of just stops and just like lays on the horn.
Mm.
It's like the loudest thing I've ever heard. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what he told like after everything had happened. But, you know, we just like we prayed like the church just started shaking and the lights just shut off completely. And I was like, you know what? This could like God,
this could be it.
This could be it. And, you know, it happened and we walked outside. And at the time, like it took a lot of reflection, but in that moment, I think God spoke to my heart. This is exactly where I wanted you.
Mm.
You know, this is where I'd want you to be right now in my presence with me. And you know, it was still scary. Like, how am I doing? You
so
know,
a tornado is like barreling down the street near the church.
It is.
And you're just experiencing this moment of like, oh, my gosh, I'm here in the church. I could maybe die right now.
Yeah. Church is shaking. My heart is shaking.
Yeah.
Simultaneous. But then, that peace just came over me. Like, this is where I was supposed to be.
You guys go outside. What do you see outside?
Yeah, we go outside and there's a statue of Mary, Mother of God out there. And these huge, probably 500-600 pound concrete benches are just flipped over. There's two trees beyond the statue, fairly close in proximity that are just completely uprooted.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we're on one of the main streets in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and two businesses, the front of them are just demolished.
Oh.
And then there's a sign in front of a gas station that's completely ripped out, just thrown in the street. There was some damage to some houses that you could see from afar. And your eyes are just kind of opened. We all made a group decision to go to confession after that.
Okay, but obviously. Just to be clear, so the statue of Mary was untouched.
Untouched, completely
and the,
untouched.
And the church itself was untouched.
Church itself was completely untouched.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But these so many things around it were just like, leveled to the ground.
Yes. Yeah, and it's interesting. The church itself, I mean, I think the parish had pulled together like a lot of money to put in these just beautiful pictures of different saints, probably most of them very relevant from like present day to maybe mid 1700s, just more modern saints and just so much beautiful art. And as a church, I'm thinking, I'm sure they were thinking, wow, praise you God that we have all these saints looking after us and we have this art reflecting on us that we just put in as a parish and it didn't get touched, you know, praise you,
oh
God.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, so lots of little graces like that, but yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pray more safe adventures with a little bit of danger for that yeah. household of men.
Amen.
More yeah. tornadoes.
More tornadoes.
Like the spirit of the tornado
yeah.
fills your life.
Hmm. Yeah. What Nick said, so we had a conversation with Nick
yeah.
after that in the car.
This Nick. Okay.
Yeah. Same guy.
Yeah.
Speakeasy in the basement, Nick.
Yeah. That's good.
He called us and he just like spoke in and said, so I look up to Nick a lot. He is just a great man in my life and like someone who like I'm running after God, but like you're in between there. And like, I see the Father in you. But he said, this will be a Kairos moment in your life. Like this moment will forever change you and how you're pursuing, you know, your relationship with God. And yeah, I really, as the time progressed, you know, I'm thinking as I walk out of the church, like, praise you, God, this is where I'm supposed to be. But then the invitation gets extended further to increase your faith.
Hmm.
Like, don't put caps on what I want to do in your life.
Wow.
You know, I have so much more for you. And I think through Nick's word and through more reflection, I stopped. You know, I think that there's a real invitation for all of us. I think there's a lot of times two voices kind of going on in our head, and one's just flat out not God. And we can choose a lot of times to just stop listening to that voice that's not God and just choose to say, you know what, God, you have a lot for me today. You have a lot for me for the rest of my life. And this is an adventure. So
come on.
Praise the Lord.
That.
I was getting preached at there. That was good.
Don't put a cap on what God wants to do in your life.
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. Reese. Brother, thanks for joining us.
Yes,
so good to have you.
Keep running towards the danger with that third floor.
I will do that.
I love it. When you guys like walk into formation at Radical Core, it's just like the posse shows up.
It's so good.
The energy shifts, the music drops, and stuff's about to go down.
Oh, for sure.
Praise you, Jesus.
Yeah, amen. I agree to that.
Thanks,
awesome. Thanks again for joining us, brother. God bless you guys. We will see you next week. We might be talking about Kairos moments. What are those? You dropped that phrase. What's the difference between a Kairos and a Chronos?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
We might. Join us next week. See you guys. Peace.